snow? Oh, come on. I like snow. Hopefully we'll get a bunch, but I just wanted to welcome you all today and say hello, and it's nice to see everybody. We have a few things to discuss. Right Now Media, I want to see a show of hands. Who has signed up for Right Now Media? Woohoo! I've been lazy. I haven't done it, but my wife has been showing me some of the Right Now Media. Absolutely. Two thumbs up. Amazing. If you got information to sign up, sign up. Bob Goff, Tony Evans, love Tony Evans. He's on there. A whole bunch of stuff right at your hands. Mom, it's on the phone. Push the button. And so you know what? It's amazing. Please sign up. Please watch it. I am a book guy. Leaders are readers. I'm trying to become a better leader and a better reader. So I like books, and I was informed that there's a whole bunch of books on the phone for Right Now Media. So that's a little spoil on there. Please sign up and please use it. Christmas Eve service. Who's going to watch Christmas Eve service? I am. Guess what? It's online. We're going to have it posted online. They're going to take and post it sometime during the day so you can take and watch it whenever you'd like to. It's going to be there. And Toys for Tots was amazing. 600 to 700 families were blessed this year. Wow. I mean, how amazing can that be? Yeah, there you go. You know, imagine taking and getting a garbage bag full of gifts. And that's literally what had happened with Toys for Tots when they were here. They blessed. They had some families that came in and were like, hey, can you help us? And they turn around. They helped them. So, I mean, the hand and mighty hand of God going forward and helping. And that's what it's about, the Marine Corps and everything else. So I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer. We'll go from there. And gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in this house. Lord, for the opportunity to bless others and to be blessed by you. Your hand, Lord, how wonderful it is, and your love and appreciation for us, Lord. With Christ's birthday coming in a few days, just how amazing. I thank you, Lord, for everything. And I ask that you bless us with wisdom and clarity, that you guide our feet to the path that you wish us to be on. Guide our mouths and let everything we say and do, O Lord, be a blessing for you. Most of all, Father, look after our pastoral teams. Look after the ones that are in authority over us, Lord. Bless them with wisdom and clarity, Lord. In your holy name, amen.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
After Jesus was born, the first people to find out are some unassuming shepherds. They were in a field, minding their own business. The angel announced Jesus' birth along with the angel choir that proclaimed God's peace for everyone on earth. They rushed to see the baby for themselves, and they were so excited that they spent the rest of the night telling everyone they could about Jesus. We hope that this Christmas you would come to know God's love and believe that Jesus truly is the Savior of the world. And what does it really mean to have peace? Why is it so hard to find peace sometimes? And how can we have peace? The only way that we can truly have peace is by knowing that God loves us and has sent us Jesus, and that He loves us, and that will never, ever change. Let's pray. God, thank you for this reminder that your peace is for everyone. You love and care about each and every one of us. You love us so much that you sent Jesus to be our Savior. Thank you for the peace that comes when we put our faith in you. And please help us to trust you and live your way every day. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we worship together.
Peace on earth and mercy mine.
Before we jump into the sermon today, I'd like to bring a couple things to your attention. Pray for those who are going through a lot of rough times. I know this Christmas season is going to be tough on many who have lost loved ones in the past year, whether it's due to COVID or if it's due to other things. Just pray that they will have the love and the joy and the peace that they need to make it through this first Christmas without those that they love. Also, continue to pray for those who are struggling right now. We've got Libby Thulin. She has been battling cancer for a very long time, and she's been doing well, but she also has come down with COVID. Pray that the doctors take good care of her and that she comes through this as easily as she can. And also pray for Peggy Miller. She is the niece of the Eadses, and she fell yesterday. And when she fell, somehow, some way, she broke both of her elbows. She is going under surgery right now to have that repaired. And I watched a bunch of you do this. Go, ow. Just thinking about that hurts really bad. And it does. She is a young lady who needs our prayers. So please remember her, Peggy Miller. So let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. God of all creation and God of all comfort, thank you. Thank you for seeing us in the midst of our mess. Thank you for looking at us and assessing our situation and doing what only you can do. Sending into this dark, sin-filled, falling apart place your Son to be the Savior of the world. That he could be the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all comfort. He is the one who can see us through the difficulties that we face, whether they be spiritual or mental or physical. He is the one that has the answers that we need and desire. And this morning, as we come before you, we come in the midst of a confusing time in our world where sometimes it's hard to believe anything. We don't know who to trust. We don't know who to believe. But what we do know is that there is a God in heaven who loves us, sent his Son to save us, to redeem us, to restore us. And in you we put our trust. In you we put our hope. In you we put our faith. That you will hear us when we pray and ask for you to help. And we do ask that you would help with all the people listed on our prayer list, that those who are sick would be made well, those who are at risk would be kept safe, that those who are hurting would be healed. And we ask that you would do this because you can, because you've done even greater things. You have loved a lost world. You've sent a Savior who died and rose to bring everlasting light and life to those who have been lost. And may we all choose you, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Good morning. It is good to see you guys as we celebrate Jesus together today, celebrating Christmas and his birth, and that this year can be a year to come that's going to be full of excitement. Now, I say that because last Christmas, if any of you asked for this year and what we've gone through for Christmas, you need to be slapped up alongside the head. There isn't a single person who asked for 2020 to be the way that it is. That none of us asked for the coronavirus and all the ramifications and the craziness that's going on in our world right now. We didn't have any desire to watch as it seems like all the relationships between humanity has collapsed into a constant battleground, and you don't know which way to turn, because if you're afraid that if you turn right, you're going to run into someone who's going to oppose you, and those, if you turn left, you're going to run in and offend someone else. And it just seems like everything is falling apart in our world. Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight, but it's sad when God's people and the people in the world can't stand the sight of one another any longer. We don't like what's coming out of each other's mouths or hearts or minds, and everybody seems to be just ripping each other apart these days. The political landscape reminds us of stories that we read about countries trying to gain freedom and gain independence and capitalism and all of these things that seem to be great things. We look as it seems like everybody is trying to gain a foothold or control over their space in their time for themselves. Lines of divisions are deeper and wider than they have ever been, and things that, as I was born in 1970, things that I read about in history books and learned back when they taught real history in school, one of the things was is that I saw things back then that I see now on TV, and it seems to be getting worse. Fear and unrest leaves no rest for the godly or the wicked, it seems, because everybody's scrambling and everything's falling apart, and it's really, really hard to go through your days looking forward to Christmas and being excited about the days that in which we live. But for unto us a child is born to fix all of that, to bring us together and not divide us, to draw us to God and to transform things. But if man continues to go down the path it's racing down at the rate it is, I'm afraid that everything will be lost. So what hope does mankind have if we can't get along with one another and make this world a better place? You see, it's hard when men and women of the world try to bring hope and peace on their own terms. Because what brings you hope doesn't bring me hope. It's hard when you just try to enforce joy upon the world. It's like making a defiant teenager sing when they don't want to. You can't make me have joy. Love? Love is the most confusing thing on the planet, isn't it? What one person defines as love, another person, well, that's a whole other thing. Peace? Has anybody ever been able to dictate peace to the world? Baby crying in cry room. Peace. Still crying. It's not doable by man's standards or ability. You see, with man, it's impossible. And the forgiveness of sin and life eternal, total peace with God, that's something that can't be bought or manufactured. And I know this sounds like another encouraging Christmas story brought to you by Pastor Pessimist Vince, but I want you to know that we do have hope and promise and peace and love, and it all comes through one place, and it all started in a little manger, and it comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Paul told us that the only answer for us in the entire world is found in Jesus. In Romans 7, 21 through 25, he says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" You know, doesn't it sounds crazy, but there seems to be a war and a distraction and a desire to destroy us and our peace and our hope. And Paul asks that important question, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he gives the answer, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's incredible because why is Paul so sure about the answer to all the world's problems being Jesus? It's because I've said it before and I'll say it again. The answer lies outside the ability of man and resides and relies fully on the promises of God. You guys will never have peace, hope, love, or joy truly for all that it is unless you have Jesus. Because guess what? All of that is based on him and what he's done and what he is trying to do in us and through us in this world. And he wants to restore those things into our lives. And we can't do it, but he has done it. And we need to surrender to him. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's because the answer lies outside of us that when we read Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, we see that there is God's perfect plan all wrapped up in some little swaddling clothing in a manger. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And it says this, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Do you guys want to know why there's no peace in our world? The reason that there is no peace on this earth is because Satan is working very hard to make sure there is no peace on this earth, trying to nullify what God has already established through his Son, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, and is seated at his right hand, preparing for us a place, and will come back for us. Because here's the secret. In this world you live in, you will not have peace until Jesus returns. But you can live at peace in a world that is at war with you. And it's okay not to have perfect sunrises and sunsets and everything just the way you like. Because guess what? The way you like things doesn't mean it's the way I like things. And the way I like things isn't the way you like things, and that's okay. That's just what we like, but it doesn't represent true peace. Peace is when you can put your head on your pillow at night and say, God, I did my best today, and I'm leaving it up you to clean up my mess. And trusting that he will because he loves you. Not that you can go out and make a mess and just expect God to clean it up. But that you've done your absolute best, live for him, and you can rest assured that he's not going to kick you out because you forgot to wipe off the dining room table with all the cookie crumbs. But nonetheless, the great thing is he loves us and he has established peace for us to live into. And there were so many huge promises wrapped up in the swaddling clothing in that little manger scene that morning that Jesus was born. So much mystery of how God was going to fulfill through this little baby and not a warrior or a politician. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. How he was going to fix all the political brokenness and man's brokenness and our broken relationship with him. People wondered how it would take place, and we're still trying to unwrap it today. Let me give you a glimpse at what that means. For Jesus Christ to establish all those things in our world, in our lives, it comes through total domination as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, he totally dominated and defeated death when he rose from the dead. He totally dominated and defeated sin when he died on the cross. And he's going to establish his kingdom, and he is going to removed from his kingdom and from our existence, those of us who love him, all things that are in direct opposition of him, he will totally dominate that landscape. There will be no room or sin in his kingdom. And everything will be at peace. But I'm telling you, for that to happen, this world, everyone in it, including you and I, will be dominated by Jesus Christ in every aspect. But until then, there are three dimensions of peace that all of us seek, and it only comes through Jesus. And the first thing that we seek is absolute peace with God. And we can have peace with God. Romans 5:1 tells us that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I love that scripture is consistent. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Paul reminds us we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for unto us a child, Jesus, is born to give us all these things. Peace, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. All these things come through one person, and his name's Jesus. And it's a gift given to us. But you know, so many people know about God, but they don't know him personally. They continue to live in fear and doubt that they are good enough. And guess what? If you don't have Jesus as your Savior and Lord, the Son of God, you're the greatest gift ever given to all mankind, then the problem is, I want you to know that you're not good enough to make it on your own. None of us are. Some of you are pretty amazing, pretty cool, and pretty awesome. But that's just outside performance. When we get to the heart of the matter, we go back to what Paul said in Romans. There is evil right inside of us that has kept us from God himself. And Jesus died to remove that. Jesus came to die to remove that. And to restore peace between us and God. Millions have sought peace with God. They do it by trying to do things better or do less wrong, by being religious or saying the right combinations of word and a prayer, hoping that that's going to make them right with God. But in the end, we know in our hearts that we've failed and we've fallen short once again. And all of us, at some given point in time, if we're looking at ourselves and our lives and our performance, what happens is this. We have this uneasy, questioning feeling of, if Jesus were to come back, would I be okay? Because when we look at ourselves, that's what we see. We see things wrong and we see things short and we don't think, I told Caitlin, I said, we were standing up there today and I realized something. I was the shortest one in the line today. And I'm like, I know everybody's looking at it. And I saw some people nudging each other and they're looking at it. And like, Vince, he's the shrimp in the family. Where's Hannah when I need her? You know. We can always find something. And God can find many things. But here's the really great thing. Our acceptability before God has nothing to do with what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do. It has all to do with one thing. Have we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? That makes us acceptable. Because it all depends on what God will accomplish and has accomplished. You see, the gulf between sinful man and the holiness of God is too great a space between us. There is only one answer. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and he will accomplish these things. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that if we put our trust in him, we will have everlasting life. So what he has done. Anyone who puts their trust in the Lord will never be put to shame or turned away from God. God took action to overcome our inaction and our inability to save ourselves by sending his son to be born for us so he could die for us and redeem us. But it requires us to take action on our part and respond to his offer of salvation so that we could have peace. We have peace through Jesus because he paid our sin debt. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his death we are forgiven, by his death we are set free." And you know what's crazy is people are going, "Man, why is it that Vince is always preaching this and so nailing us all the time about Jesus and his life and his death and everything else?" It's because this, you can't have this and not remember this. Jesus was born for a purpose, and that purpose is that cross. No way around that. You can't skirt the issue. And it should be through everything that we get excited about. That it's through his birth and his death that we have love, joy, peace with God. And because of that, we have hope all of the time. You see, it's crazy when we think about it that because he was willing to die for us, we are at peace with him and we can be healed of our hurts, our sin, and our falling short. I love the Gospel of John. It was literally the first Bible class I took when I went to college. And I always loved how John put things. It's, you know, it's different than the other Gospels. This one's just got something different to it. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," and he's referring to Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made, and in him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." You know, Christmas is all about that light that comes into the world to bring us hope and peace and love and joy and all those things we desire. And the great thing was he's been there forever since before the foundations of the earth were laid and God spun it up on his finger. And Jesus set it all into motion, knowing that he would be born and he would die for us. And I love John 1:14. I purposely slid these out of order to help them kind of flow a little bit for me and make more sense. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God sent his son to be born, God with flesh on, so that we could see him and his love for us, and he could extend to us grace and truth. But here's the problem. Then and now. Verses 10 through 13, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And we have peace with him because it is dependent on him and it depends on us as well. Yet to all who received him, those who come to him, put their faith and trust in him, will never be put to shame." You know what? Here's the thing. Someone said something, and I heard it. They were talking, and they had visited a church, and this particular kid happened to be a pastor's kid, and he went to a new church when he was away at college, and he walks in, and he says, These people were a little excited about Jesus. And from the time I stepped through the door, they were telling me all about Jesus. And he said, he looked at them and said, "Do you know who I am? I'm a pastor's kid, da 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 da." And when I heard that story, I was like, how many people are trying to get into heaven on somebody else's card? You may have the PIN code to your parents' checking account or their debit card, but that don't make it yours. How many people are trying to get by on something that they really don't have? And the crazy thing is that the only way we can have peace with God is when we come to Him. I pray for peace for my kids with God, that they would come to Him and they would find Him and they would receive Him and they would live for them, but I can't get any of them into heaven. How many people are planning on getting into heaven because they're members of the Mount Carroll Church of God? Don't laugh. Try to kick those people that haven't graced the door of this church or any church in the past 30, 40 years off the membership list, and you'll find out what a fight looks like. But the reality is, we don't get there by membership in the local church. We get into heaven based on the membership into God's family. And we have peace as being part of God's family. And we can have peace with God as His children all of the time. That's number two. We can have the peace of God. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whose peace is that? God's peace. I love what Jesus said in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." You know, that's what real peace is all about. No matter what circumstance you're sitting in and facing, not being afraid, being at peace with God, being at peace in a world that's going to hell in a handbasket because of who you are in Jesus Christ. I love it. One thing that you'll hear all the time. If you ask Chris Sauer, "Chris, how you doing?" She always says one thing. "I am good." Now, if you look at some of the circumstances in her life once in a while and what she's been through and her saying, "I am good," she's learned to say that because she trusts in Jesus. But some days you just want to look at her and say, "I don't want to call you a liar, but, you know, it's your perspective." And that comes because of the fact that she loves Jesus. And so in her situation, whatever she's facing, she is good, because whether living or dying, it doesn't matter, because she's in Jesus, so she's good. And we can all have that kind of peace and confidence, because peace with God is a fixed point, and it's unmovable, anchored in Jesus. And the peace of God is sometimes like trying to catch jello, but it's what something we can have. And hopefully, when enough jello's thrown at us, it sticks. But there's some things that you can do to have peace in any circumstance. I'm going to run through them quickly. One, we're told to rejoice in the Lord always. We spend too much time talking about the negative. Let's talk about the things that we can rejoice in Him about. Number two, remember that He's always with you. He never leaves nor forsakes you. He's always there for you. Number three, you can remove or change the things from your life that make you anxious or unsettled. Sometimes you need to remove some things, all right? If you're having nightmares at night, but you're watching scary movies before you go to bed, you what? You stop watching scary movies. And over time, that those nightmares can go away. Same thing. You got things in your life you can remove. You know what? What's funny is MSN doesn't even pop up in my search bar anymore. I don't look. I don't even want to know what they think is important and trending right now, because it's not compared to what God says is should be trending in my life. I like number four. Don't let daily life rattle your eternal life. Some of you are still processing. Don't let daily life rattle your eternal life. Little blip on your screen is today. Little blip. Remember what you thought were so important 30 years ago? No, probably because it wasn't important. The only thing that's important is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Number five, keep in constant contact with the Savior. You know, we've had to reinvent a lot of things over this year. We got a neat little camera back there. Everybody turn and wave at the camera. There are people right now all around the country watching us online. That's something new, isn't it? And the way you guys text and send Snapchats and Facebook messages and everything else, constant contact with one another is pretty easy, and it's growing fast at an exponential rate. But you know what? There is one thing that seems to be going out of style in these days. The only way we can have constant contact with God, and that's through prayer. Man, I tell you what, I give you this challenge for 2021. Spend as much time praying as you do on Facebook. Spend as much time praying as you do Snapchatting. Spend as much time praying as you live feed things. For every minute you spend on TV or the internet, spend 1 minute in Right Now Ministries, watching a Bible study or something good that's going to build you up and make you stronger. Do what you got to do to stay in constant contact with the Savior and grow in Him. And be thankful, number six, be thankful for all you have and praise Him for it. You know what? We got it really good, don't we? I mean, it's warm in here today. I went out and started the truck this morning. It was like 20 degrees. But man, it's warm in here. You got cushy seats. You're going to go home and probably, judging by the size of us, everybody's going to do all right going home and eating today. Be thankful for you have and praise Him for it. And remember, it depends on you to receive and remain in His peace. It's not dependent on your circumstances or your surrounding or other people to make you feel at peace or rest with Him. Trust in Him and remain in His peace. And the last thing that we can do is share God's peace with others. I'm not going to read it for you because Deanne did a great job reading Luke 2, chapter 2, 8 through 20 this morning. But you know, I'm going to hit some highlights real quick. The shepherds living in the fields nearby heard a good news message that a Savior had been born. And they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried off and left those sheep. Now, what's interesting, talk to Chris. She'll give you the background on what sheep they left behind to go and who they went to go see, because those were some very special sheep that they ditched in the field. Now, I want to think, you know, when I think about this, for some reason, I think about it like this, that here are these sheep all in a safe little spot in one field, and a couple shepherds were told by the angels, and they went and we looked. I mean, after all, that's what the ceramics tell us up here, right? There's a couple shepherds up here, we think of that. But what if every shepherd guarding a flock of sheep within 50 miles of Bethlehem, were told by angels that a Savior had been born, and all of these shepherds from all over that 50-mile radius came to see this thing that had been done. It goes from two or three little shepherds going, oh, sweet, to it could be like the receiving line at a funeral for a dignitary where they're lined out the door and around the block and people are walking up and they're going, wow, there he is. I told you. And the next person comes up and, wow, look at that. What if it's not just two or three, but hundreds of shepherds were told the good news that a Savior had been born. And they went and they saw him. And when they did, they hurried off and they began to spread the word concerning all that had been told them about this child. And they were amazed at what they had seen. Changes the story a little bit, doesn't it? Hundreds of happy shepherds saying, we have found the Savior of the world, the sacrificial lamb. How incredible is this? Because wherever they went, the shepherds went glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. They were excited about the birth of the Savior and told everyone about it. And my question is, how many of us are willing to correct, encourage, or spread the gospel to someone who looks at us and says, Happy Holidays, instead of Merry Christmas, Jesus Christ is why you get November 25th off from work. Oh, December, sorry. There you go. I had November 25th off. Thank you, COVID. Had that due to COVID. Sorry about that. This is a tough gig some days. Glad I got people to help me out. The praise wasn't a private thing between just them and God. It was more exciting to them than the Cubs winning or the Bears pulling one out. You know, there is going to come a day when his kingdom will come and he will bring peace to all who are his. And it'll be an amazing day. But until that day comes, we can live at peace in a world that seems to be so filled with chaos. Isaiah 2, 4 through 5 says that Jesus will one day judge between nations, settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. I love that. Only God could write in his word, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This liar, deceiver, this cheat, this dirty rascal, scoundrel, Jacob, who would later become Israel with 12 tribes from whom Jesus would come. There will come a day when we won't settle disputes for ourselves. Jesus will do that. And we won't have any, really, because what will we have to worry about or complain about? There'll be no sin, there will be no death. There'll be one people united together because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, all I want for Christmas is a little peace on earth. In my life and for my family and in your life and for the life of your family as well. And the only way any of us are going to have that is through Jesus. And my question is, same as I'd ask Chris, how you doing? Do you have peace with God? And the only way you can is, have you received him as your Savior and Lord? You see, because there's no other way to have real peace in this world that is such a mess. And if you haven't received him as your Savior and Lord, are you allowing him to be your Prince of Peace, or are you willing to allow him to be your Savior, Lord, and Prince of Peace? And by faith, are you trusting Jesus Christ to be just that, your Savior and Lord? Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will have peace in your little place on earth. And he can bring peace to your troubled mind and soul. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you still feel uneasy and unsure, there's probably one of two possibilities. Maybe the problem with your spiritual life is that you're not living to your full potential in him. You know that uneasy feeling like, I've let him down and so he's going to leave me out? He doesn't do that. If you've come to him by faith and made him your Savior and Lord, then he's not going to leave you out. You can't let him down. And there should be that gnawing feeling that you're not living up to your full potential in him. Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Are you living a life worthy of the gift you've been given and the incredible sacrifice that he made so you could be his and live forever? You see, the chaotic world we are living in is dependent upon you living in such a way to your full potential for him that you're spreading the good news about Jesus Christ to a lost world. That's one thing. The second one, maybe your faith in salvation has become like an old Christmas gift you no longer value or care about. How many of you have savored and favored every Christmas gift you've gotten your entire life and still have them all? No happy hoarders here today. Unless you're like two, and then you get away with that, all right? We all discard old gifts, and I forgot to bring him with me. I dug through a box in my garage of all places, and I found in the bottom of this box some really cool things, a photo album with old pictures and some other stuff in there. And in it, I found the very first teddy bear I received a half a century ago from my grandpa, who I don't remember. It's all I've got from him, other than my charming personality and good looks. So you know, that bear is really important in all things considered. And it's crazy, I've carried that around and I've moved it 11 times because it's important to me. And my question is your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord, is that so important to you that if your house was burning down, that's the one thing you would run after and get? I hope so. If not, maybe you need to rekindle that fire a little bit with that important gift of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Because if you do have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the greatest Christmas gift ever given, and you share him and give him away to others so they can have peace with God, you have the greatest peace knowing that your life is secure in him. And people will believe you when you share him with them because you have peace, which they do not. So my hope is that this year we will gather closer to Jesus than ever before because we all need a little bit of peace this Christmas, which only comes through Jesus Christ, the reason we celebrate on December 25th, Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, I've talked long, fast, and hard about the one thing that matters in life. That a long time ago, you made a promise that you would save us from ourselves and our sin, and that you would bring peace to a lost world that's ripping itself apart. And you didn't just make a promise, you kept that promise when you sent your son into the world to be born in the manger. But not just to be born and be forever in a manger, but to live a life and to die on a cross for us, bringing peace and reconciliation between us and you, for all of us who choose it. And into our lives, you infuse love and joy and happiness, and you extend peace in any circumstance or storm. And so, Lord, we come before you today, and we just ask that you would do what only you can do. Bring confidence and assurance and peace to our lives in any situation, because we know you and we love you and we serve you. Jesus Christ, born in a manger, died on a cross, rose from a borrowed tomb, and will soon come again to restore peace to a lost world. And until then, Jesus, continue to be our Prince of Peace. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Before we go, a couple quick things. From our family to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. When we had COVID go through our house, one of the things that was there was, does anybody really want to receive a card from a house that's been filled with COVID for a while? So we said no, but consider that your Christmas card. Thank you for all of yours and for your love and kindness. But we'll keep our germs to ourselves and keep you a little safer from that standpoint. Now, for the second thing is this. Tomorrow night, about 45 minutes after sunset, if you look off to the southwest, there's going to be a really cool thing that hasn't happened since David Keller was a young boy about 800 years ago. And things are going to align just right, and there will be, for the first time in all of our lifetimes, the Christmas Star will make its debut once again. And it's going to be pretty cool to see. So hopefully skies will be clear and you'll get a chance to take a look at that. But it will be at its brightest tomorrow night. And may it remind you of the hope and the love and the joy and the peace and the promise that you and I share through Jesus Christ. It's a cool thing. In a year that has been filled with chaos and turmoil and division and fear, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and everything rests on him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this church family. I pray that you would watch over us and keep us, that you would bless us as you promised you would, but also that in the midst of whatever we face, may we have peace, shielded by the Prince of Peace, who shielded us and saved us when he died for us on the cross, so we can trust him for whatever comes tomorrow. And today, Lord, we thank you and we love you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you, folks.